Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's so good to see everybody here on this wonderful Wednesday night. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and get our announcements out of the way while everybody's getting moved around. Let's not forget about, somebody say my church app. I don't know about you, but has anybody ever wondered what is going on at church and when is it happening? I've been there. Well, I have great news for everybody tonight that you can find out exactly what's happening here at the church on your My Church app. Amen. Everything that happens here at the church, and if you don't know what the My Church app is, you can get in contact with one of our leadership staff and they can help you download that. But if you will check on the events tab in the My Church app calendar, it will tell you everything, what's going on and when it's happening, where it's happening. Amen. So don't forget about that. Let's not forget about Sunday, April 19th. There's going to be a special PM service with the saints speak. We're going to have some saints that are going to be speaking on Sunday night, and you are not going to want to miss that. So be sure to tell somebody. Amen. Bring somebody with you. That's going to be Sunday night, April the 19th. April the 20th through the 22nd, 6:30 to 7:30 in the Blast Kids area, the 2026 Kids Crusade with Brother Kevin Merriman. The ages of that are going to be 4 to 14. Thursday, April 30th is our Ladies United Fellowship. The speaker is going to be Sister Victoria King, and that is going to be at the Garibaldi's Mexican Restaurant at 6 p.m. Praise the Lord. Who's ready to have church tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all just worship with us tonight as these singers come, and let's just worship His name tonight. Amen. Because he first loved me. Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, I'd like to go ahead and ask our ushers if they would get ready to come while they're coming. Amen. Let's not forget about our prayer request. Amen. All of the names on the list. Let's not forget about the Lester family tonight. Amen. Also look around. Amen. You see those that are not here tonight. Praise God. Pray that the Lord would, amen, be with them and bring them safely back to his house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to the Lord tonight and let's pray for these needs and this offering tonight. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful that you've allowed us another opportunity, another privilege to be in your house, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would look across this place. Lord, you would hear every need, Lord, every request, God. We pray, Lord, you see every name, God. We pray, Lord, that you just begin to move on every situation. Lord, you see those that are not here tonight, God. We pray you bring them safely back, God. We pray for this offering tonight. I pray that you bless every one of those that have to give, Lord, and those that have not the same. We ask you all this in your precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you tonight as you give.
So good to be in church on a Wednesday night. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm glad you made it to church. Amen, amen. So good to see Sister Myra. We love Sister Myra at the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. Love you so much. Appreciate you. And her and Pastor Myra are in town for our funeral today. She's had the ladies' conference. Sister Karanda is actually preaching the night services this year at conference, so it's going to be a great time. If our ladies are able to go, I encourage you to go. If you can one night, it'll be a great blessing to you, I know, in Jesus' name. And everyone said Sunday. Amen. Brother Kelso may have already alluded to this, but you don't want to miss. Be here Sunday morning, please. But be here Sunday night. It's going to be a great, great night here. The Saints Speak is happening Sunday night. Anyone like going ever to a buffet? Some folks are disgusted by buffets, but you won't be disgusted Sunday night, all right? It's going to be a buffet of different topics. I mean, you need to be here. Brother Martinez is kicking us off Sunday night, and we'll talk more about this Sunday night, but he's speaking on a business aspect of things, running a business, what have you. Sister Taylor Malone's telling a testimony. Sister Dodd is speaking on trust. If you read her article she posted a while back, she wrote years ago in Reflections magazine, to be a great blessing to you Sunday night. And then Sister Cynthia Brown is speaking on consecration. And then Brother John David Griffith will end this. You know what he loves to talk about. That's the end time. So it's going to be a great time here on Sunday night. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great night. In Jesus' name. Amen. So please come. And just a couple of things to mention to you, and I'll mention this Sunday when everyone's here, but on April the 26th, that's a Sunday morning, we're going to receive a special offering, and that is for two missionaries, missionary Zenobia and missionary Guidry. One's in Spain, one's in Colombia, and one is for a Bible school project, and one is for purchasing land for a church. And so be in prayer about that. And we'll be given towards that on April the 26th, and I'll be sure to mention that again more in detail and give you some more. So I'll have some pictures on the screen you can look at, and it's going to be a great day. Nothing like giving. Amen. It's blessed to give. Amen. Amen. Let's all pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We ask you to bless your word. Speak to us, God. Thank you for this great group of believers who have gathered together on a Wednesday night. Help us, God, to say something, I pray, to be a blessing to them, Lord, to be an encouragement, God, I pray. Help us not to leave the same way we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I'm speaking tonight on simply a reaching generation. A reaching generation. From the time that we are born until the time that we pass from this life, we are constantly reaching. As a baby, you came in this world reaching for your mother. You reached for the pacifier. You reached for the bottle. In early childhood and into adolescence, we reached for stability as we were learning to walk for the first time. We reached for play, reached for our favorite toy, favorite ball, whatever it was. We reached for answers. A curious child is constantly reaching for the why, behind why the world works the way that it does. We reached for success in school as teenagers, you well remember, and if you have teens now, you well know that they're reaching for independence. As young adults and midlife, we reach for excellence. We reach for the career. We reach for that certification. We reach for a mastery of a specific skill. We are reaching for ownership, reaching for a home, reaching for a piece of land to call your own. We are reaching for balance, especially in this middle of life. And the older you get, you're reaching for a way to juggle the heavy responsibilities of work, family, and personal time. And even in later years of life, we are still reaching. We are reaching for rest, reaching for retirement, reaching for a slower pace, reaching for quiet moments of life, reaching for wisdom, reaching back into the past to find lessons to pass down to the next generation. Reaching is a part of our nature. Reaching is woven into our DNA. Reaching is second nature to humanity. And it is this way because in the middle of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the writer tells us that God has put eternity in our hearts. You've heard believers and unbelievers alike say things like, there has to be something more to this life than just living, dying, and being carried to a graveyard. What is really speaking in those moments is the soul of a man. It's the soul of every lady that it's reaching to be eternally reunited with its creator. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church at Philippi, and he writes to them, and in the middle of Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul makes this statement. He said, there is one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And he said, I'm reaching forward to those things that are ahead. He continues and he tells that church at Philippi, and it echoes through the ages of time. He said, I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that Paul, in context, he is speaking here of ultimately reaching his eternal reward in heaven, but there is the principle of this verse that is much larger than just the Apostle Paul reaching for a distant place called heaven. While that is the ultimate prize for every born-again believer, while I think you would agree this is our greatest desire, while heaven is a place that we are all reaching for, tonight I'm not just talking about reaching that place, but rather I want to preach to you great people that if we're going to ever be a reaching generation, it will not start when we get there, but it begins in the reaching before we arrive. It is vital and it is of most importance to keep at the forefront of your minds that before one can really reach, one must first forget that which is behind them. Paul said, I forget the past and I look forward to what lies ahead. You've heard it preached, no doubt, somewhere in your lifetime. I've not preached from this portion of Scripture in Lord knows how many years, but maybe it's been a while, like it was for me, since you heard this. But may I remind us tonight of that lady we call Lot's wife. She is no doubt the greatest tragic example showing the ages of time that it is humanly and it is spiritually impossible to reach forward and to look backwards at the same time. If you do that, you will only be remembered as someone who became enshrined living in their past. So before we can ever be an impactful reaching generation, we must first become a relinquishing generation. We must relinquish our control to God's control. It's His plans and not our plans. We cannot affect and reach with me all up in the way. It's got to be Jesus and nobody else. It's got to be His will and His purpose, and nothing else will matter. In order for us to be a reaching generation, we must first be a repenting generation. There must be a change of mindset. There must be a change in our focus. We must realize that our repentance is our best friend. We have direct access to God through His shed blood on Calvary. I encouraged you before, and I encourage you again tonight to make it a daily habit to live a repentant life. Make it a daily habit to find an altar of repentance somewhere
somewhere in your day. I highly encourage first thing in the morning, but make it somewhere in your day a point to somehow get on your face before the Lord. Somehow, if you're driving down the road or whatever it is, however you do it, and ask the Lord to wash your mind, because you can't move forward if your spirit is stuck. You can't move forward if your mind is stuck, hung up on whatever is going on in your world. So there has to be a repentant heart before you can ever be an individual who impacts their generation. Before we can ever be an impactful, reaching generation, we must become a letting go generation. We must. Everyone say we must. We must let go of all malice. We must let go of all hate. We must let go of all anger. We must let go of all bitterness. We must let go of all greed. We must let go of all lust. We must let go of all jealousy and selfishness. Before we can ever be an impactful, reaching generation, we must become a renouncing generation, one that turns our backs on the world and its allure, one that renounces sin and ungodliness and worldliness. I was talking here a while back to Sister Wanda, I believe it was, and we were talking about Las Vegas. Her and Brother Randy are there this week for a conference she has to attend with her work, and she was letting me know, she said, at nighttime, she said, man, she said, Vegas is so beautiful with all of the city lights, but in the daytime, she said, it's such an ugly, nasty city, and the allure of that city is there at night to grab your attention. That city, Las Vegas, the lights of the night are there to grab you, and their goal is to hopefully pull you into whatever that city is trying to offer you. And the same it is with the world. In order to be an impactful generation, we must renounce the world. That it needs to get a hold of the church like never before. There needs to be a healthy distaste, a healthy disgust for sin and the world. May I encourage you on this Wednesday evening, and I'm kind of hung up maybe some on last Wednesday evening, but we are not a church that flirts with compromise. We don't sleep with compromise. We are to detest, we are to abhor the very appearance of evil. I'm not interested in coming to a church that is being polluted by worldliness and worldly thinking, where if the wind of the Spirit blows in on a Sunday and it only clears the atmosphere for a service or two, I'm not interested in just a break in the clouds, but there must be a cleansing from the inside out that lasts from Sunday to Sunday, and that begins when we start renouncing the world, when we start renouncing sin, when we start renouncing any and everything that opposes the forward progress of the Spirit of God. I'm not just speaking tonight of sinful things, but I'm speaking of anything that causes us to keep looking back at the world while trying to maintain a life that's reaching for the eternal. In order for us to be an impactful, reaching generation that's an apostolic Pentecostal church, there's got to be a spirit that rises up on the inside of us and says, we've got to renounce anything that looks like the world, anything that acts like the world, anything that resembles the world. I did just a quick research. You can do it yourself on practical things that we as a church, that we as a group of believers, we must have, that we must renounce, and that are rooted in this word. We must be a generation who renounces status seeking and the pursuit of fame. We must be a generation that renounces comparison versus via social media. We must be a generation that renounces consumerism, where we're only happy when we buy things. We must be a generation that renounces gossip and venting about others. We must be a generation that renounces obsession and with physical appearance and vanity. We must be a generation that renounces political tribalism and hatred for the other side of the aisle. We must be a generation that renounces binge watching and digital escapism, where we get our only peace and our only freedom when we escape for 6 and 7 hours. Hear me. It's not a sin in moderation, but it becomes a sin when it becomes your God. And there has to be something on the inside of the apostolic church that renounces anything that looks like the world. We must renounce anything that resembles sexual entertainment. I don't care if it's movies, music, internet content, whatever it is. We've got to be a church that stands strong in this late hour and renounces anything that tries to look like the world. We renounce anything that's sarcasm, even with crude joking. I don't care. God help me tonight. I don't care how off color and how it seems simple and it seems like it's not a big deal, but it is to the word of the Lord. We're trying to be a clean church. We're trying to be a holy church. We're trying to be a godly church. Hallelujah. We've got to renounce everything that tries to oppose the work of the Lord. We must be a renouncing generation that says, I don't have to be right in every argument. I don't have to be people pleasing and fearing what others think about me. In a generation who renounces the world, they're not worried about self-promotion and personal branding. They're not worried about materialism. They're not worried about holding grudges and refusing to forgive. They're not worried about anxiety that's fueled by 24/7 news cycles. They're not worried about pride in their own intelligence or their own accomplishments. They're not worried about this hookup culture where everyone's trying to get with everybody. They're not worried about envy of other people's stuff and possessions. They're not worried about retaliation when you get insulted. They're not worried about being addicted to screens, to substances, to shopping, if you will. They're not worried about the fear of man, somebody who understands, I refuse to fall in love with this world. No wonder James said in chapter 4 of his book, don't you realize that friendship with the world, it makes you an enemy of God. He said it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Preacher, that's hard preaching for Wednesday. I know it is, but you're grown up mature believers. So let me help you understand something tonight. Everything we do is not sin, but you hear me, there is a path. If we're not careful, the Bible said it seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And I've just come tonight as a warning light to tell this great church, we've got to renounce anything that looks like, acts like, talks like, smells like the world. We've got to be a renouncing generation before we'll ever be a reaching generation.
I think you'd agree, we can't be impactful while holding on to the world. Did you know that God never called you to fit in the world? So many folks want to be relevant. I'm convinced that word relevant makes God want to puke. Amen. Everyone wants to please everybody. Everybody wants to be on the same level with everybody. Everybody wants to do everything just like they're doing, real, not understanding that we were never called to fit in. Oh, God. But the Bible says, come out from among them. What? And be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. He said, then I will receive you unto myself. He said, as long as you're trying to be relevant, as long as you're just trying to quote unquote fit in. Listen, I'm not against modernization. I'm not against great methods. I'm not against anything that keeps us up, if you will, with where we are in time. But my God, there's just some things that we can't afford as the apostolic church to let go of. We've got to make sure one of those things is we're not called to fit in. Don't worry about it, ladies, if you look different. Don't worry about it, men, if you act different, talk different. My God, we were called to be a separate generation. We were called to be a separate people. And God is looking for people who are holy, who are godly tonight. In order to be an impactful, reaching generation, we must first, and this is one of the most, I believe, important points of the night, but we must first be a refocused generation. There must be singleness of mind.
There must be clarity of heart. There must be clarity of heart and mind as to what and where we are headed in the Spirit. King David of old, he wanted to be a reaching generation. He reached for God's presence. He wanted God's presence near at all times. And so he sets out on a journey to bring back the journey, the Ark of the Covenant, back to Jerusalem. He heads to Abinadab's house where the Ark of God has been for some 20 years. He gets to where it is, and he, for whatever reason, he just didn't do it right. He puts it on a new cart, and they start on their way. And this young king, he is so ecstatic to be getting back what he's been reaching for so long. And on the way back to Jerusalem, the Bible says they came into a low area of the road, and the oxen stumbled, and the Ark of God begins to shift. And Uzzah, who did a good thing and a right thing, it seemed to man's eyes, fearing that the ark may fall off of the cart, he reaches out his hand to steady the ark. And the Bible says in his doing so, God strikes him dead on the spot. And David goes back to Jerusalem, a defeated man. He goes back to Jerusalem, a man in turmoil and in fear. He came out reaching for something, but he goes home distraught, not having obtained what he came for. But when he gets back home, he hears of how God is blessing that man, Obed-Edom's house, just a few miles down the road. And so what does the king do? He does what God wants us to do tonight. He gets refocused and he gets clarity when he finds out from the word of God that the ark of God was only and ever designed to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. And it's this time, while he is refocused, he once more goes reaching for God's glory. And as a result of being refocused, he is able to reach into his future. And for us tonight, Great United Pentecostal Church, in order for us tonight to be an impactful generation, we must be a refocused generation. As I alluded to at the outset of this message tonight, we spend our entire lives reaching here in this world. From the cradle to the grave, we're reaching, we're grabbing, we're striving to make it through this life. But with all of our human reaching, with all of our desiring to be, to achieve something in this life, I appeal to you that in order to be a reaching generation, one who reaches not only for the temporal, but one who reaches for the things that matter most in eternity, I appeal to all of us tonight to become a refocused generation. What I'm talking about is Jesus. In the book of Revelations, he speaks to that church. He said some good things about them. He said, the problem is, though, is you've left what you first loved. The problem is you left what got you here. The problem is that fresh fire, that fresh anointing. Not saying you're going to hell, not saying you're backslid. You've just lost what got you there. He said, make sure you get refocused. He said, if you don't get refocused, I can come down and take the candle out. And the Lord, I believe, wants to tell this great church, there's got to be a realigning with him, with his purpose, with his plan, with his goals. There's got to be a refocus on who he is and what it is he wants to do in our lives. We must be a people who are literally in the spirit realm, always reaching. People who reach and pursue after his presence more than anything else. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We must be an apostolic church of people who reach for the fruit of the Spirit, people who reach for love on a daily basis, people who reach for joy on a daily basis, people who reach for peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. God, he desires a reaching generation. I ask you tonight, what are you reaching for? I know it's Wednesday and I probably should preach it on Sunday, but I ask you tonight, what in the world are you reaching for tonight? What is it in this world that's got your attention on a Wednesday night so much so that it's got you distracted at such a late hour? What is it tonight that's got you on the side of the road questioning everything you believe, wondering, does it even matter anymore? Hear this preacher tonight. God is trying to tell you, I'm calling on you to be a reaching generation that reaches back out to me, that doesn't reach out to the world, but reaches back out to me and my purpose. Jesus said, everybody said, I want to be blessed. Anybody here want to be cursed? Jesus said, you're blessed if you hunger, thirst after righteousness. What is that? He said, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty after right living, you will be filled. So the opposite must be true. That if I don't hunger for him, I will hunger for something else. And as I'm hungering for something else, I'm getting less of him. And the less I have of him, the more miserable I become. That's why I've seen backsliders come back to the house of God after being gone 20 and 30 years. Never will forget one night I watched a girl come back after being gone for God knows how many years, a horrible lifestyle bound by drugs. And I never forget, she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that night and never could break through. And I asked the pastor after church, I said, man, why? God's no respecter of persons. Why couldn't she break through? He said, son, it's not the Lord. He said, it's just sometimes when you've been gone for so long, there's so much shame, so much guilt. You're trying to pray through all this crud. Hear me right now. I promise when she left, she wasn't thinking about coming back. But when she came back, the enemy came calling saying, you'll never make it back. I'm pleased tonight to report she's serving God and doing well. But I just want to tell you tonight, that's how vital it is that you stay close to the house of God. That's how vital it is that you stay reaching after righteousness. That's how vital it is that you stay reaching after his glory. Jesus said, God said, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you look for me, when you seek for me with your what? With your whole heart. You know what that means? That means when you get out of the way. Anybody besides me try telling God how it needs to be? Hello? Anybody besides me, God ever said don't do A, B, and C, and I told God why I should do B? Hello? And the Lord said, you're not really looking for me. You're not really searching for me. It's back to that customized Christianity jazz that people are trying their best to make God fit their mold. Baby, God ain't never fit my mold, and God will never fit your mold. He walks in one path, and it's called the Word of God. And he says, either you fall in line with my word, or you're outside of my word. You've got to get completely, totally abandoned of your flesh when you seek for me with your whole heart, when you abandon your desires, when you abandon your will. God, I feel it on me tonight. When you abandon your will, God will start speaking to you again. When you abandon your flesh, God will start talking again. He's looking for a church to be a reaching generation. Amen. Lord said, I love those who love me. And he ended in Proverbs 8:17 by saying, I love those who seek me diligently and find. Anybody ever found the Lord? What's that look like, preacher? Well, it looked like lots of ways, but I can take you to pivotal moments in my life, and I can say, right here, he met me right here. And when I left, I was radically changed. I can take you right now to a camp meeting service some 6-7 years ago, praying at the altar with a story just preached. Shane Burns came over by me. I can take you to that exact spot when the Holy Ghost just, whoosh, was a God moment. I found God that day. Now, don't misinterpret that. It's not always in what you feel. I get all that. It's in what you know. I know all that. But there are pivotal moments in everyone's life where you found the Lord. And when you found the Lord, let me ask you this question. When you found him and you couldn't stop the tongue, it was just flowing 100 miles an hour, and you couldn't control your emotions. You didn't know if you were screaming, if you were growling, if you were wailing, what in God's name was going on. You may have ran, you may have shouted, you may have rode, or maybe you just wept uncontrollably. But you can't tell me in that moment when you found God that you were arguing with God. You found him when your heart was fully submitted and committed to him. That's the only place he'll move at. That's the only place he'll go to. And so many people, God help me tonight, hear me somewhere, I feel it tonight. The reason why, sir, you cannot break through is because you've built so many walls around yourself that the Lord, it's not that he's not able. He's just waiting on you to move some things out of the way. And if you'll move some things out of the way, God will find you again if you'll seek for him with your whole heart.
And Isaiah says something pretty powerful.
It's a pretty scary verse. Seek the Lord while it may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let me just encourage you tonight. We don't bargain with the Lord. I told you a while back, and it's funny, but it really ain't funny. God, I'll do this if you'll do this. Or God, I give you 2.5 hours to do this. No. That ain't how God operates. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what he does do. We sing an old song years ago. Just reach out and touch the Lord. Huh? As he passes by. What? You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry, for he's passing. Huh? By this moment, Bartimaeus. Hello? To hear your heart's cry. Just reach out and touch the Lord. And I wondered, what if Bartimaeus hadn't reached out? I promise you, he'd have died a blind man. I promise you, he'd have died that day on the side of the road, wishing to God I'd have just reached out and touched the Lord. Well, that's scary preaching. No, it's not scary preaching. It's Bible preaching. And the Lord is serious about when God moves by a man, when God moves by a lady, and they feel that tug of the Holy Ghost, that you don't let pride, you don't let self, you don't worry about what they're going to say. You've just got to make up in your mind, I'm reaching for something higher, for something greater, for something more mightier. My God, have mercy. I just want more of Jesus, and I want less of me.
Amen.
Not only does God design you and I to be reachers, but he desires to reach us. That's why he sends us preachers. I know I told you this a while back, but to me it's simple, but it's so powerful. When you remove the letter P from preacher, all you're left with is a reacher. You're left with somebody trying to reach on behalf of the one who loves you the most. Man, that's all a preacher is. He's just reaching. He's just trying his best to be obedient to the Lord. And God, I believe, he wants this church. I know it applies to all Christians, but he wants this group of believers to be a reaching generation. We must, hear me tonight, we must be a generation who reaches for the salvation of others. Jude said, you save some by snatching them from the flames of judgment. You show mercy to others, but you do so with great caution. watching. He said, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. He said, don't forget, boys, when I came to this earth, I didn't come for you to have the Mercedes, the big house, and $4.2 million in the bank. And it's good if you got it. God bless you. But when I came to earth, I came for one reason. I came to seek and to save those who are lost. I came that every man would come to repentance. And I put you, the blood-bought United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas, who bear my name. I called you to be a generation who reaches for others. I called you to be a generation who reaches for people who don't look like you, act like you, smell like you, talk like you. I called you to be a generation who reaches for others. A reaching generation. We reach for things that are above. Paul said, think about the things above, not the things of this earth. We reach for things that are above us. If you've been born again of water and the Spirit, I encourage you, reach for the promise over and over and over. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. If it's been a long time since you've prayed through, if you will, that's just Pentecostal talk, I know. If you don't know what that means, that simply means that when you repent of your sins, when you're baptized in His name, you receive the Holy Ghost, evidence speaking in tongues. When you receive that gift, it's not a one and done gig. Hello? And it's good to be refreshed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's why some folks are so grouchy. See, I ain't got to be spiritual or a prophet to know that. I can just look at you. Some folks just live mad because the Holy Ghost ain't hit them in 20 years. And it's good. God, I felt a wall right there, man. It's good for you to get that gift stirred up every now and again. Man, I told you a while back, Brother Jerry Dean and I had lunch here just the other day, and he said, my God, son, I had a man in my church. It had been 30 years since he received spoken tongues again. He was in his 90s. He said, brother, tonight at church, we're going to pray until God does it again. He said, we got in that prayer room. They laid hands on him, and that man was just talking in tongues. He said, we need those kinds of moves in our churches. I believe it's the will of God. You can say what you want to say. I believe it's the will of God for everybody in the house every now and again to get refreshed by the power of the Holy Ghost. We're saved by the renewing. And if you've never received the promise, you should reach for it. Man, you should reach for the promise of the Holy Ghost. I mean, again, it's not a math problem. It's not hard to figure out. It's so easy a child could understand this, the Bible says. Hello. Amen. Aren't you glad you got the Holy Ghost, church? If you don't got it, just repent of your sins. Amen. Ask Jesus to forgive you. He'll forgive you just like that if you're sincere. Amen. Take on His name in baptism. You said you should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the washing away of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Anybody who ever got it in the Bible, they were speaking in a heavenly language. A reaching generation. And I've come to a close. A reaching generation reaches for holiness. The Bible says, Brother Jackie and I were talking today about that word holy, and some folks don't like that word because it scares them and for whatever reason. But anyways, from the front to the back, on the spine, it's a holy Bible. So I think it's okay to talk about holiness. Now, we've confused sometimes holiness with standards, and I get all that, but holiness living set apart unto God, hello, when you're inwardly holy, it'll produce outward results called standards of righteousness and living. Yes, it will, but you have to get holy on the inside first. Hello, we need a generation. I encourage you, be a generation who reaches for holiness. Hey, amen. We reach for godly living. Man, let me just say this. If it's a question mark in your mind, I see that as a big no. Amen. I've had people try to explain that. Well, I don't know what I feel. Well, if you don't know what you feel, just hang on, Jack. Amen. And if we can point to scripture and verse, well, then it don't matter what you feel. Come on, mature believers. Amen. It don't matter what you feel if we can point to scripture and verse. Amen. God's looking for people who are holy, who are set apart, who are living godly lives. And if I'm questioning it, if I feel that tinge of, I don't know if I should do that, that's called conviction. That's called a red flag. And the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you, stop. Wait. Don't do it. I don't care. Oh, God, help me tonight. I don't care how small it seems. I don't care how insignificant it seems. I don't care how, quote, unquote, old school it seems. If there is something in you warning you, you better stop, pump the brakes. Well, then stop and pump the brakes. The Lord's trying to give you direction. He's trying to, what are you doing? I'm trying to be godly. Everybody wants to be like Jesus until Jesus requires stuff. Hello. Remember the rich guy? And he was loaded, man. He had it all together, and man, God, Jesus, he loved him. He said, man, you got one thing you lack in your life. After the guy said, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere. I love you. I want to be your disciple. And the God said, well, yeah, just you can do this if you'll just go and sell all you got and give it to the poor. And the Bible says that instead of reaching for him, he went away sorrowful because he was a man of great wealth. It wasn't that God was trying to destroy the man's wealth, but God was trying to get to the heart of the matter and said, Peter, do you love me more than these? You know I love you, Lord. No, Peter, do you really love me more than these? You know I love you, Lord. No, Peter, do you really know? Do you really love me? And if you do, feed my sheep. Be a reacher, Peter. Be somebody who reaches out in godliness and in holy living. A reaching generation. We reach for the mind of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. A reaching generation. Constantly, consistently. Let me just help you with this tonight. Now we're going to hush it up, okay? It is the will of God. Now you may not believe this, but it is the will of God for saints of God to hear from the Lord. I've seen folks that thought only the preacher could know that stuff. That ain't true. It is the will of God for everybody in this house to have a personal one-on-one relationship with the Lord. And it is the will of God for you as a father, as a mother, as an employee, as a business owner, to know the mind of Christ for your business, for your family. I mean, the preacher ain't got to tell you, you need to go buy this. That's foolishness. I ain't going to tell you. Don't ever come to me with stuff like that. I'll just pray for you. All right? But if you want the mind of Christ, you pray about it, and God will talk to you. Let me do a poll. Has God talked to any saints here before? And you knew it was the Lord, right? Amen. God wants to do that on a consistent basis. And the only way he does that is if you reach for him. The only way, I told you a while back, the reason why me and Jenna know what we're thinking sometimes is because we're always around each other. And we're always talking. Hello? And the only way you know your father's thoughts is you spend time with him all the time. And when you do, you start thinking like he thinks. You start seeing what he sees. You start doing what he does. That's what God wants for this church. Amen. A reaching generation reaches until they receive what they came for. And yes, lastly, a reaching generation does reach, as Paul said, for the prize of the high calling. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand. We are to be, I pray you hear me tonight, we are to be a reaching generation. Time tonight will not permit me to list every person who ever reached, but if I was to hand this mic off to Sister Meyer tonight and some of you precious saints, there is a graveyard full of people out of this house who died reaching for that city. Hello. There's people who went to the grave dying, reaching for something they never saw. They just believe that he was able to bring it to pass. Let us not forget the greatest reaches you'll ever make is your reaches to God.
reaching for his promises, reaching to his will, reaching toward him at all times. We must become a reaching generation. And by God's grace, I came in this world reaching for natural things, but I pray I leave this place reaching for the heavenlies. I pray when we all leave this house, we're not worried about who's getting what, who's doing what. No, no, no. I pray we're reaching for something that's way beyond us. And turn to your neighbor and tell him you were born to be a reacher. Amen. Let's all pray. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you for this great group of believers. Help us to be a reaching generation, God. Thank you for this great church. I pray the hand of God rest upon us, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost, I pray, move this week, God. Touch our ladies at conference, God. Be with them, Lord. Move on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Keep your hand upon us. Everyone said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.